You got you, both. Do you see it?
Lesson 12. Yes.
You tried this. So I'm going to close this lesson with a story about a fellow who really wanted the greatest good in his life.
Hello.
Choosing to operate from his own knowing.
Hello.
Hey there. I can't see you. Huh. Click your the video icon on the bottom. I hear you. I hear the cat.
This cat? Yeah. That's eight.
Yes. Okay. Here you are. That's your costume?
I'm not dressed in costume. And what are you? A coach?
No, look. Did you see?
Oh, you're Clark Kent.
I see, man. No,
supposed
no.
To have, no. Have, you the, have you seen the ties that are?
I know. I didn't find it. Yeah, I didn't have that. So how's it going? Let me just pull up your notes here.
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Still recovering from last week. It was intense. It's like, you know, 12-hour days, like four in a row. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. It's good, though. It's just like just getting poured into. So what are your – how did your week go? What are the wins this week?
Didn't have any big wins. Had a good meeting with one of the young finance guy from my Friday group.
Yeah.
Yesterday I met his partner. It was one of those high power meetings where everybody's dressed in suit and,
oh, yeah.
You know, I kind of had a feeling it was going to be like that when I went in, and, fortunately I was dressed appropriately and,
so you were in costume.
Yeah. His partner, these guys are looking for people with, you know, $100 million to park somewhere and learn how to, you know, tax defer this. And
Right.
So he, you know, it was a good meeting because the way I introduced our business, I just literally just talked about how we're creating millionaires through leveraged income, and I just kind of hit all their hot buttons, and so it ended up being a good meeting. And then Bill left the meeting early because I think it was obvious. You know, I told him, hey, I'm not here to waste your time, and I don't have the kind of wealth that you're looking for it, but I know people that do, and you know, we can certainly network together. And
yeah.
And then Cameron was really impressed, and so Cameron's gonna go on the water.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And he's the guy that I have the relationship with, and he's the guy that shows up to the meetings. So that's a good thing. So I got a win out of that, and then I've got a few people on the water right now, and that's going well. And then but I didn't have any major wins this week. I didn't get together with that gal from LA. I didn't get any sales. But my prospect list is growing, so
well, that's part of it. That's part of it.
Good people.
Yeah. So celebrate that. I mean, celebrate that meeting. I mean, the meeting was good. I mean, you got somebody on the water, you know, I think it sounds like you made an impression, right?
Yeah.
So that's important. That's good. How did your practice?
I'm putting another gal on the water this morning. One of my pickleball gals that's got some pain issues.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I think the biggest thing was more progress on the professional tennis front. My, oh, my buddy the, setting up meetings with three or four professional tennis players.
Oh, good.
And he's is, you know, he's excited. I'm you know, I'm he's yeah, we're meeting with Jack Sock's brother first, and then Jack Sock himself, who's probably the best American player on the, right now. And then hopefully that he knows Azarenka pretty well, and so hopefully that meeting will come soon. This is the off season for these guys. You know, they don't have anything until Australia.
Right. So it's a good time. So. Which is a good time.
Yeah, I figured we take advantage of this time.
That's good. That's good. You know, and then and you know, with that, I mean, there's a lot of data on that as far as like competitive edge. Obviously, the antioxidants and flushing tissues and all of that, but it, in you know, performance enhancement or you know, have you seen Horst Filzer's? Do I have it here? I do have it here, but I don't. It's not right right here. He had published. It's the first human study of Kangen water, and he's got results in
it. Yeah, you know a buddy of mine bought a 10-pack of those booklets, and I read through them. And the results are so, like, unimpressive. You know,
I know, and I've gotten it.
Seven people.
Yeah.
It's just like when I go to the science side and what we've actually proven, I go straight to PubMed. There's over 300 studies on ERW.
Yeah.
And I just talk about ERW water. I think that I'm totally unimpressed with Horst Filzer.
I mean, it's funny that you say it because I got that impression too. And I was talking to somebody, we had a big demo at our center last night. And I was talking and we had a guest speaker, you know, that did opening remarks. She's a doctor. And she said the same thing. Like she had shown this the study to several of her colleagues, and it's just a little light. You know, it's like a light version.
Not a little, a lot light.
A lot light. And I'm wondering because I wonder if he did just like, you know, EWS. You know, all their marketing is light. It's like fluff, right? Because they got to be so careful of what they say. So I'm wondering if you know, he put it out there like, okay, well, it's got some weight, but he had to put the light version out because, you know, he doesn't want to put the company or you know.
Well, here's the thing. I watched everything that he said to the group. I've seen everything he says on the science. The guy doesn't even mention hydrogen or the nanoparticles, the platinum. That's why the water does what it does.
Yeah, I know.
As a company, refuse to give up this stupid microclustering and start talking about hydrogen-rich water.
It makes me very angry. I know. I fully get it.
It's complete. This microclustering is total pseudoscience. We lose all credibility every time that word comes out.
Yeah.
It's a made-up word to describe tiny water or, you know, micro clusters of 5 and 6 instead of 18 and 20. Nobody knows water clusters and unclusters constantly. It's constantly in a process.
Moving. Yeah.
We don't have pictures of this process. So we don't know. It's all theory.
It was theory.
Water is hydrogen rich and hydrogen's a smaller molecule. That's why it does what it does.
Yeah.
It's and really, really easy. It's not complicated science. We should be talking intelligently.
I know. No, I fully get it. I mean, when it first came out, it came, and this was years ago, it came out just as that, as a theory, because they didn't know why the water was leaving the stomach so fast.
Right.
They knew, like, if somebody drank ERW on an empty stomach, it would leave the stomach almost immediately.
Right.
They did not know why. And so they came up with that whole theory of microclustering, this and that. They even talked about it absorbing through the stomach. The stomach is waterproof.
Yeah.
Right? Alcohol gets absorbed in the stomach, but not water. Water is it's waterproof. Water gets absorbed in the small intestine, you know, or in the intestines themselves. And so that's what that whole history was. So they came up with this theory of microclustering. Oh, it must be this. But they never took into account the pH.
There was a guy. There was a guy that we used to have. Have you seen the guy with the long blonde hair? He calls himself a doctor. I don't think he is. Michael Kinnett or something.
Michael Kinnett. Yeah, he said he was a hydration specialist. He was even certifying people as hydration specialists. I'm like, right. I'm not even touching that. I liked his presentation style, and I learned a lot from that. But then, you know, obviously he left the Enagic and started going with a knockoff because they paid him, you know?
Yeah. But what he did say that might be biologically accurate is that sphincter in the bottom of the stomach is pH sensitive. And when this water hits that valve, it opens immediately and goes into the small intestine.
The pyloric sphincter. That's, and I teach that.
Maybe that's sphincter, there's something to that.
Yeah, I teach that. It's in my demo. I teach that. And I think that's where the science comes.
I believe it because I live it every day. It doesn't sit in my stomach. It's
no,
gone.
Gone. You know? It's so, gone.
And yeah. You know about the 90-second video about the blood, right? You've probably played that a million times. So
yeah.
That proves that the water is in the blood in 12 minutes.
Yeah, very quickly. So, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen live demos of that. There was one conference years ago, it might have been in Florida, where there was actually it's somebody that I know, a naturopathic doctor, and she was doing live blood analysis. And and she was doing it at the conference. So she was taking people's blood, showing them, look, this is what it looks like, drink this water. And she was doing it right then and there.
How about that?
Over and over and over and over again. So it was just powerful to see that, you know? So yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. The whole pseudoscience thing, you know, I dropped the microclustering years ago. I
haven't talked
about that in a long time. And it does surprise me that the company is just being blind to that. I don't know why they're being resistant to it, and they're holding on to something that doesn't even exist.
When I do my presentation, the three properties are antioxidation, alkalization, and superior hydration. And it's really simple. H2 is a powerful antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. It's all across every website you can find. So there's your antioxidation, right? That's why the ORP does what it does.
Yeah.
Alkalization is simply, we have separated the alkaline minerals. The alkaline side goes to one, the acid side goes to the other. So we have a higher concentration of alkaline minerals. So we alkalize. And lastly, superior hydration. That comes from both the hydrogen and the electricity. The water, there's an electrical charge on those minerals. And therefore, we get, most toxins are positively charged. And when you drink a negatively charged water, you detoxify. It's not complicated, and it's really
not
simple.
Complicated.
We can talk that way. If we would just adopt a scientifically accurate description of Congar water, we would make leaps and bounds for anyone that has any background, any smarts, any brain cells. But we have a bunch of network marketers that are out there just
spewing,
regurgitating exactly what they've been taught, regardless. I mean, with all due respect, John Swartstrom is one of the worst. In every presentation, every single presentation, he has misinformation, a lot of it. Number one is Otto Warburg. Otto Warburg won a Nobel Prize for science. It had nothing to do with cancer research, nothing. Otto Warburg did a lot of work in cancer research.
Yeah.
He did not win a Nobel Prize for his research. The way he presents it is Otto Warburg won a Nobel Prize for cancer.
That's what he says, for finding the root cause of cancer.
Yeah. Every single time.
Yeah.
He did not win a Nobel Prize for discovering the root cause of cancer. I'm sorry, it's inaccurate. And we lose credibility when we put out misinformation.
I know.
And the microclustering is just, you know, so that's, I can't.
No, know, I'm with you.
We have so much going for us. We don't need to make up things.
Yeah. But I think what that history is when it first came, that's how the marketers presented it. And then it just sort of stuck. Even though evidence came out and, you know, scientists came out and they're educating us, but people didn't listen. Just a little bit also on the alkalinity. When we split a water molecule, we split it into OH minus and H plus.
Right.
Right. So some H plus goes out the acid tube. That's what makes it acid. But two H pluses come together with an extra electron from the plate, becomes molecular hydrogen. But you still have OH minus. OH minus gives the water the alkalinity. That comes out of the top hose. When you juice fresh fruits and vegetables, it is rich in OH minus. That's what gives it alkalinity.
Okay.
Okay. Along with the minerals and all of that, because it is splitting that as well. But the OH minus also gives it the alkalinity.
Interesting.
And OH minus is negatively charged. It is binding with the positive, you know. So for instance, an OH negative will bind with an H positive, if you think about it, right? And what does that form? It forms H2O. But I don't think that's how that mechanism works. It's really the H2 that binds with OH neutral. OH neutral is probably, it's the most cytotoxic, reactive oxidative species that we know of, OH neutral. So one H2 molecule will neutralize two OH negatives. And I'm trying to remember the name for OH neutral. Anyway, it'll come to me. So one H2 will neutralize two OH neutrals, and it actually forms water molecules. And so if it does that in the cell, it also is hydrating, if you think about it, because now it's forming water in the cell.
Okay.
Yeah, so OH neutral is one of the most cytotoxic, oxidizers that we know. And it's one of the reasons why, and this came up last night because people are asking questions, because people that are on chemo, people are getting cancer treatment, you know, some doctors, it really depends on the oncologist, say, you know, you can't take antioxidant supplements while you're on chemo, because it neutralizes the oxidative effect of the chemo drugs. So they say, you know, stay away from your vitamin C's and all the antioxidants, blah, blah, blah. However, because of the nature of ERW, Kangen water, and H2 is very selective and it does not counteract the chemo drugs. But what it does do is it helps offset the symptoms that come along with it. So people that are going through chemo or radiation and they're drinking the water tend to have a lot less symptoms and they heal a lot faster.
Hmm.
So, you know, if they're going to go through that process, you might as well go through that process, you know, as smoothly as possible and allow the body to heal. Because, you know, as we know, chemo is just destroying our immune system.
Yeah.
You know, I know now they're being much more selective. There's processes now that they can really target the type of cancer with the type of chemo. And there's some advances on that, but it's still brutal.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it, it's brutal. You're putting poison in the body.
Yeah. I tell people once you've been through that process, you're never the same. Your immune system is compromised.
Yeah. You can rebuild, but it takes a long time. And that's why I say, you know, like, friends of ours, an older woman, she had, diagnosed as stage 4 cancer, was in her abdomen. She went through, you know, she was exploring different options. She went with a specific doctor that they do these specific tests and target it. She went through the treatment and now they say, quote unquote, she's cancer free. Now this is from stage 4, but I told her very specifically, now your job for the next year or more is you got to build your immune system. I mean, that's your main focus. So you can't just like, oh, okay, the cancer's gone. Let me go back to living my life. You go back to living your life, but you got to make some major changes.
Are you familiar with the study where they followed 155,000 chemotherapy patients and only 3,000 were alive after 5 years? So we have a 2.1% success rate with chemo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, imagine that, a doctor that knows those numbers, because this was this came out of the Journal of Clinical Oncology. The study published March 6th, I don't know what year. The study published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology shows the success rate of chemotherapy to 5 year survival is 2.1%. But wait, it gets worse. Yeah, and then they, so 155,000 patients, 3,300 survivors.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, Bob Wright,
a doctor that knows you have a 2% success rate, tell you this is the therapy you should do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's barbaric.
Well, Bob Wright talks about it in you know, Killing Cancer, Not People. In his book, he says he's interviewed oncologists, and oncologists, if they got cancer, wouldn't take the treatment they're prescribing.
I found it. I found that article. The McGill Center for Medical Education shows 75% of physicians in the world refuse chemotherapy for themselves, and they interviewed 118 cancer doctors.
Yeah,
and wouldn't give it to themselves or their families.
Yeah, but yet, I don't know how they balance that with themselves, but yet they prescribe it every single day. You know, maybe because there's no other option. You know, but if they won't take it themselves, what would they do?
I think they'd go homeopathic. I think they'd do all the alternative stuff.
They would do what they can to stay alive or a loved one, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. We have so many options, especially outside of this country, because this country just blocks it all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strong options. A lot of strong options. So how did your forgiveness practice go this week?
Oh, I forgave everyone. I'm handing out forgiveness like it's candy, like it's Halloween candy. I'm just handing it out by the handfuls.
Yeah, but candy's acidic, man. So you sure you did the deeper work there?
I did a deep dive.
Just bathe them in Kangen water. That I think that's more forgiving. Yeah. So what about, let me just look at my notes here. Yeah, this week, so now, congratulations, by the way, we're going into phase three, which is building. So if you've been listening to the meditations, you can move to the meditation number three. So we're in the building phase right now. So now what we've done, we've come through, and I want to go over your vision too. We've blueprinted our vision. We've got the details in there. We got specific with it. We got some feeling tone in there. Then that was phase one. Phase two, we go into nurturing the soil, right? Cleaning the weeds, planting the seeds, nurturing them. You know, so we talked about the feelings of deserving, feelings of lack, forgiveness, all of that stuff, the stuff that can poison the soil or choke out the dream. So now we're going to go into building. So this is where we step into our own power into a much more profound way. So this week, that's why we talked about, or she talked about, using your intuition. So it's one of the six mental faculties that we're born with. Imagination is one. She talked about that and intuition. So intuition is our faculty where we listen. So when we pray, we're talking to God. Intuition is when we hear from God, when we hear back. So listening to that small, still voice. And what's interesting for me is because they say, listen for the small, still voice. So I'm listening, always listening for a voice. But to be clear, it's not always a voice as a, like we hear with our ears. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you found that, right? So that's why she describes it like as a nudge. Sometimes you feel a nudge or, you know, you get this knowing, a knowing in your knower. Or, and so for me, that was a practice that, and I still do it, to say, okay, it's not always a voice. Because I sit and meditate and I'm like, okay, all right, God, talk to me. You know, I'm listening for the voice. Where's the voice? And it's not always a voice as we would think as a voice. And that's something, you know, actually it was interesting because when we were at Dream Builder Live in Dallas, on the third day, it was actually in the same phase. Third day was bridging. And she broke us up into, so we had done our visioning and we'd done our, you know, our stuff. And so she broke us into three. She did a teaching on intuition and listening for the voice. And there's a process that she calls the brief thinking activation process. I think I've described it before, where you source a question, you come up with a quality question, you get into state, come up with a quality question. You ask that question to spirit in that vibration, and then you allow answers to come through. And so we did that exercise, but as a group. So we were in groups of three. And so somebody would share their vision. And then they would ask a specific question for a part of their vision. So what can I do, you know, from where I am with what I have, you know, with the time frames in the next month, in the next 7 days, whatever. But a very specific question. And so we were working in groups of three. And so this one woman, she told us her dream. She's a coach and she's building. And she said, you know, how can, I forget, the question was something like, you know, what can I do more vision workshops or reach more people with her coaching business? And so then, you know, then we go around and we were open to that for her. We're holding state for her. And we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And then we tell her, and she writes down, really as fast as she can, she writes down that comes through. And so we were going back and forth between me and this other woman, giving the answers that were coming through. And the first one that came through, it would just came through, it was like, contact libraries and speak to libraries. So we go through this process, and it went on for a few minutes. And then it was over, she looks at me, and she said, that's interesting you said that, because my very first workshop, my very first revision workshop's next week, and it's at my local library.
Wow.
It just came. You know, it's just allowing that to be open. And I'm like, whoa, I said the same thing. Wow. You know, I don't know where the thought came from. It wasn't my thought. This is what we were doing. We're in the exercise sourcing for her. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. And then we went around and we took our turns. And it didn't come as a voice. It came as more of a thought. You know, sometimes it comes as an image. I remember one time I was taking, when I was studying cranial sacral therapy. And so oftentimes with these classes, you get a little bit of theory, you get a little bit of the medical, you know, science behind it, and then there's a demonstration, a practical demonstration. And so they, you know, the teacher usually prearranges to have, you know, one of the students in the room to volunteer, lies down on the table. So the woman's in cranial sacral is done, dressed, the person's clothed, laying on a table, usually start on their back. And so I forget the particular lesson that he was teaching at that moment. But we were doing some kind of regional work, like whether it was, you know, region of the hip or region of the shoulder, just regional work. And an image came into my mind of my mother-in-law, because she had gotten her knees replaced several years before, and she had titanium in her knees.
My mother-in-law has knees and hips.
Wow. She's like the bionic woman. Did they you know, put the turbo boosters in there? So she can run like 60 miles an hour. So
this woman basically moves at a snail's pace. So it's painful.
Oh, it's painful. Oh, my God. Oh, it's painful for you, you mean?
Painful for me, yeah, not for her. The pain's gone now for her.
Yeah, painful for you. I can see that. So it was interesting because in that moment, the flash came into my mind of my mother-in-law's knees. And that there was titanium there. And so I think the lesson was something about, you know, that's what came up. So the woman was laying down on the table, but she had a belt on with a big metal belt buckle. So she said, he asked, would you mind taking the belt off because of the metal? And so then all of a sudden I had this flash in my mind of my mother-in-law's knees that has titanium in it. And it was just like a flash. And so the question just came out of my mouth. The teacher was standing right next to me. Well, actually, he was standing across the table from me. And I said, well, what about titanium? If somebody's had a joint replacement and they've got titanium joint or screws or something. And then he just cocks his head and he looks at me. And he's like with this like slight smile on his face. And he says, that's interesting you say that. Because this particular student, this woman, has titanium in her shoulder because she had an accident, and or it was her shoulder or her leg or something like that, and she has titanium in her body from this trauma that she had. There's no way for me to know that. And so everybody in the class, there's like, you know, 30, 40 people around, they all stop and they look at me like this, you know, like, where did that come from? And I'm like, and at that moment, it sort of shook me because I had no idea where that came from. It was just like this flash. And so I was like, that was weird, you know, like, where did that come from? But I think it's those moments of you start to look back on your life, you get those moments of flash inspiration or knowings. And it's not always a voice. And so I think that's, you know, it was a big lesson for me to say, it could be an image, it could be a knowing, it could be a sound, it could be a voice. So however that shows up, and it could be all of them, right? However that shows up.
I'm curious about, you know how we have titanium plates in our machine, but they're dipped in platinum because titanium is so poisonous?
Yeah.
I wonder, I assume they've done all the research on titanium joints. Is exposure to titanium, you know, with blood and everything else, I wonder if there's any issue with toxicity.
Yeah.
People that have titanium joints.
I know. They must coat it or stabilize it somehow. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Because there's a holistic guy down here in Laguna Beach that tell some really horrific stories about heavy metal poisoning, titanium poisoning.
Yeah.
Eye bleeding and your skin turns ashen gray. And I mean, it's nasty stuff when those plates go bad.
Yeah, especially in knockoff machines, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it gets pretty ugly pretty fast. Absolutely. And we talk about that too. I talk about it to some people as well. You know, where that it gets, you know, you don't want heavy metal poisoning. So if you're trying to drink a healthy water to balance your body, the last thing you need is heavy metal poisoning from the device.
Yeah, I tell people, you know, if you're not going to buy the Enagic machine, then don't buy any. Just go back to Brita.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, you just don't know when that plate's going to go bad. You know, it could be a year. It could be 5 years, but at some point it's probably going to fail.
Yeah, it's going to break down. The minerals are going to build up. It's going to break down. It's going to corrode.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I found, I don't know if you remember me telling you the story of that pickleball player that lived with me, and he was all excited about
buying
water, and then his wife bought the Tyent. And then I had almost a 2-hour three-way conversation with the president of Tyent. And he ended up keeping that machine, as far as I know. And I sent him the video of, do you know Brian and Ashley Strand?
Yeah, where they tore the machine apart. Yeah.
And it's a tie-in machine. It's not their current latest model, but it's a tie-in machine, and he tears it apart, and you can see the flimsiness of it, and they made him take that down. They were going to sue him. You can't find that video anymore, but my sponsor Colton has it on his website called whythiswater.com.
Yeah, and I have a copy of it too. When stuff like that comes out, I always try to grab a copy of it, because eventually it's going to come down. I mean, it's just like in the beginning when I first started with the Nagic, Dr. Shinya's videos used to be on EWS website.
Okay.
And the FDA made them take it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have an EWS website?
No. I had EWS, and I was just using it as the CRM part of it, you know, the emailing and client list. But when they changed their pricing structure, you know, they shifted everything. It didn't become cost effective. There's a lot of other solutions out there.
Yeah, they wanted, was it like $90 a month or something? I mean, it started out at 30.
Yeah, and it was based on how many contacts you had on the list, which a lot of the industry does. It's based on how many contacts you have on the list. But I know, like my sponsor, I mean, he moved his whole list over. He imported it from another system that he had been using. It was an outdated system, but I mean, he had, you know, it was probably 5,000-6,000 names on the list. And his price went from $30 a month, you know, up to almost $300 a month. I mean, it was
crazy. Oh, no.
It was amazing at what it jumped up to, because it was based on the number of contacts. And he was just like shocked. And it was like that, you know, that was crazy. You know, crazy what they did.
What are you using to track your list these days?
What's that?
How do you organize your contact list? How do you keep it straight and usable?
Yeah, I mean, most of my contacts I still have on my phone, because it all goes into my contacts on Apple, because it's easy to organize them there. I do work with, I have my whole list also. I have an account with ClickFunnels. So I'm using their Actionetics, which is their list management. It's not really a true CRM. It's really just using it in sales funnels and stuff. But
do you pay ClickFunnel?
Yeah, I have the full suite. So because I'm working on learning that whole thing and building funnels and stuff. We just got introduced, and this is what we're going to be using for our coaching. There's a company called 17hats.com.
17 hats.
HATS. Because as an entrepreneur, we're wearing many hats.
17hats.com.
And it's basically helps a small business or any size business that you want manage, you know, the day-to-day tasks. So there's a CRM built in. We just got it, so I'm just exploring it. But it syncs with your calendar. It's got email. You can sync it with your email, so it's got email templates. It's got online signing for contracts if you needed that.
Is there a monthly charge there?
Yeah, you could do it annually or monthly. And they have a deal, like if you buy 2 years, you get a better price. So it's anywhere from $11 to $17 a month. And you can put, there's no limit to it. And then you can have multi-users log into it. So for instance, because some other programs, it's like you have one user, it's one login. So for one account, like I was like surprised they had that. So I put Caroline in as another user into the same account, and it was the same price. So, yeah, if you're interested, let me know, 'cause I could send you a link on that so you can get some money off on it. So if you,
I am interested. I'm trying to get more organized with managing tasks in my funnel.
Yeah, exactly. They have a task manager. They have a lot of different things to it. Task manager. They've got, they actually have a section that you could do lead forms, you know, like contact forms and lead forms. So I'm going to just make a note. So somebody had just a friend of ours from Miami just told us, we saw her in Dallas, just told us about it. Cause you know, everybody's looking for, you know, the Holy Grail, how to manage your business, in a simple way. And I was looking at different packages, this and everything was just seemed disappointing. This one seems the most promising. So we signed up and they have a 30-day money back. Like if you find in 30 days, it doesn't work for you, they'll refund your money.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And then you'll sync, like if you have, even if you're on Apple, if you have it coordinated with through a Google Calendar, it'll sync everything through it. So you can have your calendar through that as well. You could see it. You could schedule things through it. It's got a task manager. It's got all kinds of stuff all built into it.
Is it going to replace your ClickFunnels?
No, it's more of a management thing for me. The ClickFunnels really is really like building funnels and all that, like as in a Lego system, right? I mean, that's how Russell Brunson really describes it. So instead of, because I
for your click, what do you pay for ClickFunnels?
ClickFunnels is almost $300 a month. So, but that's a whole different, that's why it's a whole different function than, and again, Axonetics, which is their list management, it's not really a true CRM. Mm-hmm. It's really just collecting information that people, you know, people fill out a form, you got their information, then you could ship them from list to list. And a lot of them are like that, really. You know, MailChimp and all of those. They're not really a true CRM where you can go in and make notes and all of that. Let's talk about your intuition a little bit, because I want to stay on track here. So what did you get out of the lesson this week? When you listen to that and...
Well... I mean, exercise one, we were going back to dream building. And exercise two, things I wanted to accomplish, you know, it's kind of what we're talking about now, getting organized with my list and my, you know, figuring out what CRM is going to work for me and creating a goal for how many people a day I'm going to contact for appointments. My calendar's too light. You know, I need all the spaces in my calendar is killing me, you know, so. And exercise three, you know, trying to listen to my inner voice. You know, I felt that there was definitely some intuition going on before my meeting yesterday with those two finance guys.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I wasn't going to have time to do my actual presentation. So I just had to boil it down to some bullet points in it. It worked out, I think, very well. But you know, like my intuition, told me that this was a good time to get in touch with my tennis guy, and it turned out to be perfect timing there. And, you know, because I hadn't really, he's been dealing with a lot of other issues over this past year. And so I kind of had to let him work on that stuff. He was actually, I guess, born in Sierra Leone, Africa. And there's a lot of issues with his citizenship, and all the Trump stuff has really complicated matters. And
Right.
So he didn't even know if he could stay in the country. You know?
Oh, man. That's so stressful. I've had people that I know people that went through that.
Yeah.
You know, like people that are here on like a student visa, and then they were sponsored and they were working like in a church. Actually, I have this one woman that used to be a client of mine, was a massage client, was, you know, she taught piano. She was a piano player. And then, you know, the church, she had trouble with the church and she was looking for new sponsorship, and she thought she would have to go back home, you know, the whole process. And she's been here for years. So it's very stressful.
Yeah. one of my buddies at Costco, he's a very sharp 20-something year old named Franco. And shortly after, well, I don't know, it was probably at least 6 months ago that we talked. His uncle literally just disappeared. They hadn't heard from him in like a month. They didn't know if he died or whatever happened. He's been in this country for illegally for like 30 years and worked his way up in management with, I think it's the Del Taco Corporation.
Mm.
And, he could only go so high without papers. And, sure enough, somehow they got to him and deported him. He's in Mexico right now. He's been
he just disappeared.
30 years.
I know.
Paying taxes, you know, a productive citizen.
I know.
And
he's probably culturally at this point, culturally more American than Mexican.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go back home, it's like, or home, quote unquote, it's like he's got no network there. He's got, you know.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. I mean, that's a whole new can of worms with this Honduras thing.
I know.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I was a little confused on exercise 4. Start the day with creating a to-be list. I don't know.
Okay, so to clarify on that, I struggle with this a lot too. Because I'm a doer. We're all doers, 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 right? So we all create our to-do list.
Yeah.
So that's just coming from us. It's like us. It's like using push energy, using our strength, pushing through and doing, doing, doing. So a to-be list is, who do I want to be today? So yesterday, like, I woke up and I knew I had the demo at night. So one of the first thoughts, I woke up, opened my eyes. I said, who do I want to be today? So I wanted to be the best presenter, a magic presenter that I could be. I wanted to be the best presenter around. So who do you want to be today? I want to be the best, you know, the best fiance that I can be today. And what does that mean? What does that mean to lean into that? I want to be the best communicator to people about the water today. And talking from the heart. So that's what the to-be list is, as opposed to doing to-do. I have to find a CRM. I have to send an email. I have to, you know, go to the gym and work out. Those are to-dos. But to-be's, it puts it on a different frequency, because it's not just very specific things. It puts it, it's like, it's a practice, really, of what we're doing with dream building, with visioning, right? So if you have this vision and you know, you're a 6A2-4, well, what is it like to be a 6A2-4? So that's what this is on a smaller, you know, it's like having a vision statement, a vision for 3 years. Well, you can have a vision for today. What is my vision for today? What is my vision for the next 30 days? So who am I going to be that person that lives at that frequency, at that level? That's what the to-be list is all about.
Hmm.
Right? So it's stepping into your greatness. It's stepping up, as opposed to just that doer that's doing, doing, doing. And like I said, I struggle with that because I've been doing, doing, doing my whole life. You know? Do you know the books from Michael Gerber? E-Myth, interesting. And I read them a couple times. He's written, the first book was called E-Myth, but then he revised it. So it's called E-Myth Revisited. So that's the current version, E-Myth Revisited. And he has E-Myth Manager. And interestingly enough, it's when I read E-Myth Manager, after I read E-Myth Revisited, that I really started to understand what he was talking about. And E stands for entrepreneur. So the entrepreneurial myth of these, you know, let's say you had a job and you were trained and you're good at doing this thing, but you're working for somebody else. And now you have this vision, you know, it's like the American dream, have your own business. So I said, you know, it's a very sexy, very romantic thing. It's like, oh, I own my own business. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. So I'm going to leave my stupid boss who doesn't know anything, and I'm going to go start my own company, right? And that's the myth part. So it's like to say, okay, I'm really good at this, and this is what I want to do. But to run a business, you have to wear, just like, it's ironic, like 17 hats, right? You got to wear many hats. So, and a lot of entrepreneurs, and I've went through this many times with many of my businesses, where, okay, well, you have to do accounting. You've got to do bookkeeping. You have to have customer service. You know, you've got to have marketing. You have to have advertising. You've got to have somebody that comes in and cleans the toilets and sweeps the floors. Well, in the beginning, you might not have the money. And that's my paradigm. I don't have the money to pay for everybody. So I'm going to do it myself. So you end up doing, and you end up doing the things that you don't like to do. And you're not doing the things that you really love to do. So let's say you love baking pies. And I think that's one of the examples he uses in the book. Let's say you love baking pies. So you want to open a bakery. And so you open a bakery to make pies. But you end up doing less of making pies because you're doing all these other things. And so he breaks it down to say that there's different people. There's the entrepreneur, the visionary. There's the manager. There's the worker. And we end up doing all of these things, and that's the myth, because we end up doing less of what we love and more of what we hate, and we end up being a slave to the job. So we end up buying a job instead of buying a dream or buying a vision.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and so why that came to mind is because I resonated with that really well, because I bought a printing business and I was doing. And I always had this paradigm, I don't have enough money to hire people. That was it came from my dad. My dad was a tool and die maker, and he didn't hire people. He did everything himself. If he didn't know how to do it, he learned it. So I grew up doing electric and plumbing and fixing the car. And we wanted to put a fireplace in the living room with a brick, you know, red brick wall. And that's what we did one summer. There was an old school that they tore down. It was built in the 30s. They had torn it down. And so they had a massive pile of red bricks, and he went over and made a deal and bought the bricks. So one summer we're soaking bricks and fricking scraping the old mortar off of it. And you know, we built a fireplace with a red brick fireplace with a wall of brick in the living room with a chimney outside. And my dad, a tool and die maker, it's all about precision. Well, that thing is still standing. The house could burn down and that thing would still be standing, because that's the quality of the work that we, you know, he did. And we, you know, he's retired now, but you know, the car needed fixing, you fix it yourself. You needed plumbing, electric work. So I'm grateful for all the skills I learned, because, you know, a lot of people don't know those basic skills, right? It's like, you know, and that's why I have this curiosity. I'm like, oh, I can figure this out. You know, that's why, like, back in the VHS days, people had VHS and it just, the time just flashed 12, 12, 12, 12, because they didn't even know how to set the clock on it, right? Now it's like automatic setting with the servers and stuff, but I was the one that everybody came to, because I was the one that was I could fix everything. I could still fix everything. I'm the problem solver. Nothing, you know, I don't know how that works, but I'm going to figure it out. You know, I never built websites before, but I just jumped in and did it. So I could do that. But the problem with that is, especially in a business setting, is that you're not going to grow your business that way, by doing everything yourself. And that's why Michael Gerber in his book really highlighted that for me. And how to break those habits are hard. For me, it was hard. You got to learn to delegate. You got to learn to trust. You got to learn to, you know, to be a leader as opposed to a doer. So I think, just circling back to that exercise, is who are you going to be today? Are you going to be the entrepreneur? Are you going to be the visionary that is, you know, stepping up at a higher plane? Or are you going to be the doer, 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 doer all the time? And I think it's important for us too, especially in network marketing, is we have to be the visionary. We have to, like the people we talk to, we have to give them the vision of something greater, of better health, of better peace of mind, of better you know, financial security. Because that's what visionaries do, right? They paint the pictures and have you get somebody to buy into that those pictures. So who are you going to be today? Right? Are you going to be the do all the time? Or are you going to be somebody that does all that? So for instance, like we're building this coaching business and this and that, and it's a home-based business. We have home-based business, but do you get distracted? That's our paradigms talking to us. Oh, well, there's dishes in the sink, we got to wash that, and there's you know, I got to do the laundry, and oh, the cat has to be fed, and I got to go walk the dog, and it's all these distractions around us. But if you have on your to-be list to be that visionary or to be the best communicator about Kong and water, well, are you serving that to-be by doing the dishes right now? When you could be on the phone talking to your tennis pro. You could be on the phone talking to the pickleball gal. You could be that connector. So that's what that's all about. And it's, again, it's a practice. It's something, you know. So you open your eyes. You have that awareness. You're starting to wake up. You get into a feeling of gratitude. You know, what are you grateful for? It's another day. I mean, you woke up. You should be grateful you woke up, because a lot of people didn't wake up this morning.
Yeah.
So even just the gift of life, we should be grateful for. And then who am I going to be today? Not to the to-do list is always there. Who am I going to be today? And so yesterday morning, I woke up and I said, all right, I have a demo tonight. I'm going to be the best presenter I've ever been. And they said I was. It was an incredible presentation. So, you know, just keeps, and they say, oh, you keep getting better and better. It's like.
Have you videotaped your presentation?
Yeah, it's actually on my timeline. I streamed it Facebook Live.
So it's on your Facebook page?
Yeah. So go to my Facebook page. Just, it's Carl dot Carvalho, Carvalho dot life coach. If you search for that, or go to that facebook.com/carl.carvalho.lifecoach, it'll come up. You know, we got almost 1,000 views already on it.
Nice.
Yeah,
I want to watch it.
Yeah, my 1,000 views it's got. The ones I do at a NAGIC office can get up to like 3,700. People all over the world watch it. People waving, saying hello. And we had a doctor. I mean, she did a briefer introduction yesterday because some of the people had to leave early. So she wanted to make sure we got to the meat and potatoes of it. So take a look at it.
How many people did you have last night?
It was a smaller crowd. I mean, we probably had 15 in the room. But that's what I like about Facebook Live. And again, my presentations are pliant, you know, so I'm not making tests, you know, all of that stuff. And that's why I feel comfortable doing it Facebook Live. I know somebody, like when I get to the 11:05, you know, somebody in the back of the room was sort of whispering, oh, you tell them about you can drink it for headaches and stuff. And I'm like, I can't, you know, we're doing live here. I can't do that. So after we ended it, we can talk more privately about things like that. Because, you know, a NAGIC watches too.
Yeah.
And, you know, the government's probably watching too, or, you know, could potentially. Because my time, you know, those are, it's open to the public. So it's not like it's just a private thing. Yeah. And I want to record it. I want to actually set it up in a kitchen and do it in segments and have a sequence. And that's one of the thoughts, but I haven't up until now, I haven't had that time, you know, to set that up and do that. Cause it takes time to do it the right way, you know, with video production, with the sound and the lights and blah, 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 blah. So, and I learned all that. I know how to do that too. I can be the doer, right? But I'm going to be the best videographer today I know. Well, how are you going to be a videographer and in front of the camera at the same time?
Well, I guess I bought a tripod for my phone. I haven't made a video yet, but
that's good. That's good. I know. I started doing Facebook Lives every day just to test it out, and I got really good response to it. But now, what I want to do is
what were you talking about every day?
Well, what I did is like each day had a different theme. So like Mondays was Motivational Monday, Tool Tip Tuesday, Wellness Wednesday. So every day had a different theme. And so I would talk about that. And in the beginning, I only did it for a week or so. And it, I got great, you know, views. I got 300-400 views and people watch it over time. And people, you know, I run into people at events and they're like, oh, I love your Facebook Lives. And I want to get back to it. I just was testing it to see how it would go. But for me, it's like, it's with all this stuff that's going on, I find it's too much pressure to say, okay, well, now I'm going to do a Facebook Live. Let me just wing it. I want to have a list of content so I know ahead of time. So, you know, because sometimes you got to think about it a little bit and put your thoughts in order. I certainly winged it for 2 weeks, but it's not something that's always comfortable, right? I would, at least if I planned out, even if it only is a week or so ahead, just at least the topics. So then I know, okay, tomorrow I'm going to talk about this. Let me ponder that a little bit and put a little bit of thought behind it so that I don't feel like I'm winging it all the time. Just riffing on a topic. And I know a lot of people that can do that, you know, but I just feel with everything that I'm going, I don't always have the creative space to say, okay, I'm going to put this amount of time to this creativity right now. And then let me go on and shoot it. Because I'm juggling a lot. I'm doing a lot. So, but it's effective. People see that, especially if you're delivering value. You build that bank account of value over time, and then they'll say, okay, it builds that know, like, and trust factor over time. And I know people are doing it on, you know, depending on where their focus is. People are doing it on LinkedIn. People are doing it on Instagram. They're certainly doing it on Facebook. I mean, you could do it on Twitter too, but Twitter's, I think, is sort of fading a little bit in that realm.
I think Instagram is...
Instagram is the place, yeah, is the place right now that people are building. Even a friend of ours, we had some friends that we met in Dallas. They're from LA, and he said he just took a course on building on Instagram. You know, there's marketers out there. They do these little modules and stuff. You know, to build, how do you do it on Instagram? So, I haven't explored that. I have an Instagram account, but we really haven't posted anything. All right, let's wrap this up. What do we got here? So we didn't get to talk about your vision again, but so what I'm going to ask you is to go visit it again, because you should be visiting it every day and tweaking it, calibrating it. Tweak it this week and send it to me, because I want to get back to that and make sure that we're calibrated and focused with that. And use the lesson from this week, tapping into intuition, to really source ideas from a higher level. Because even Mary Marcy says that the currency of the universe is ideas. And so if we can tap into that, I think the quality of the steps that we take are going to be much higher. Because it's coming from a difference. It's coming from that infinite source as opposed to just our everyday, the land of facts, right? All right, so let's do that. And then, so once you have that, send that to me. And then we have, what's next week? We have 17. Oh, no. So meditation three. So that, because we're going into building now. So it's CD, it's a audio 13. And the exercises in that. This week was 12. So next week, 13. Let me just pull this up. What's today? Today. Copy. Okay. And then next week, same time.
Okay.
Wednesday the 7th. All right. You know, it just, remember when in the beginning you told me about, you know, the book Christ, I forget the title.
My Heart, Christ, Home. My
Heart, yeah, right. That practice is really tapping into intuition, if you think about it. because, I mean, you're using a guided visualization, really, to get into that state. And then, and in using, Jesus as the master teacher, mm-hmm. is really this practice of intuition. And so if you think about it, if you go into that, use that as the vehicle to step into that room and sit with Jesus, right? Because, you know, the Trinity is really all one, right? It's three people, but as one. So if you're asking Jesus, you're really asking the Holy Spirit as well, and say, all right, I have, you know, this is what I have. This is what I want to do. What can I do in the next 5 minutes to move that forward? What can I do in the next week? What can I do to move myself in that direction? And that's going to come from that higher level. And then just be quiet and let Jesus get up and take the book down and sit back down, or just let him say, okay, why don't you do this? Or why don't you try this? So that would be a way to tap into that part of you. And then it's a muscle. So as you exercise that, then you could be doing that throughout the day, not necessarily have to be always sit and meditate and go into the guided meditation. Then you can always go, okay, Jesus is in my heart. So let me ask the question. I know he's always there. The Holy Spirit's always there. The answers are always there. There's no question without an answer. You may not know how to do it, but the Holy Spirit knows how to do it and do it perfectly. So it's just getting into that practice of tapping into it. And then the answers come from a much higher level. And things that, just like Mary was telling in the stories this week, there's no way for us to arrange those things. Much higher level. So tap into who's in your heart and then see what happens.
Okay.
So we're in the building phase right now. So all the other things that we've learned up to this point, we still need to do, right? We're still cultivating the soil. We're still tending it. We're still watering. We're still, you know, giving it sunshine. But now we're stepping up. Now we're moving into a higher realm. All right? Cool, man. I want to see pictures of your costume next week. You going to that party tonight?
No party tonight.
Oh.
No. We're just home for the evening.
Uh-huh.
You can see the costume closet over here. It is ridiculous. Because we figured we'd be going to that party every year.
Yeah.
So we started collecting.
Oh, wow.
And there's some funny stuff back there, but we haven't, we didn't, you know, I've lost touch with Liz, who throws this big bash.
Yeah.
We don't play that much tennis, and you know, my friend Frank, who introduced me, I told you, you know, our lives are going like that. So
yeah.
It's, I don't know. I really need to reach out to Liz. I really enjoy her. And, you know, we don't need Frank to connect.
Yeah.
We're friends on our own. So I really need to, reconnect with her, and then, make sure I get invited to that party, because it's fun.
Yeah, man. Come on.
Good food, good people, fun costumes. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is. It's the biggest bash I've ever seen. You know, over 100 people just roaming around in costume.
That's nice.
Her masquerade ball for her 50th birthday party was fun. You know, Amy and I got to dress up, and we got the masks.
Yeah. Well, don't eat too much candy today. You know, candy is acidic, right? Sugar is acidic. You're going to have to drink tons of Kangen water tomorrow. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Just watch the candy. It's the day of acid, but that's okay.
All right. Enjoy your Halloween.
You too. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Be well.
All right. Bye.